Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Combined with the most entertaining and intriguing talk anywhere, this is your sound. This is the sound of Universal Broadcasting Network at UPNRadio.com.
This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole, Hollywood's bad guy, and so much more. Actor, talent manager, producer, and more. Now he's sitting down with today's top newsmakers from entertainment, politics, pop culture, and beyond. This is One-on-One with Jasper Cole.
Woo-hoo! All right. Howdy, howdy, howdy. And welcome to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. This is your host, Jasper Cole, and we are coming to you live today from Sunset Gower Studios right here in Hollywood, California. And I want to say a big shout out to my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hey, Jasper.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. Good, good, good.
This is week number three.
I know.
Here we are again.
Yes.
How was your week from last week? I haven't seen you.
It's been good. Yeah.
You're always busy, busy,
yeah,
busy.
Yeah, I know. A lot of pre-records this week. But
well, that's good.
Yes.
Well, I'm so thrilled that we're here. I want to say, everyone, please remember to follow us on Twitter at @OneOnOneJCole. Facebook, One-on-One Jasper Cole, and of course, my website, jaspercole.com.
Mm-hmm.
So today I figured, you know what, there's so much happening in current events and hot topics, and I just wanted to have a show where we could just talk and vent and give our opinions on stuff, because
sure.
I don't know, it seems like there's just so much shit happening in the news, right?
Yeah, there are. Quite a bit going on.
Which I think is great. There's a lot of stuff happening. One thing I want to talk about is tonight on ABC, the ESPY Awards.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, Caitlyn Jenner is receiving the Courage Award, the Arthur Ashe Courage Award.
Yes.
And last year it was given to Michael Sam, openly gay football player. It's interesting to me. There's been a lot of backlash against this. Mm-hmm. I was watching several shows today. I'll be curious if anybody in the chat room or if anybody wants to call in and give the phone numbers, John.
Sure, yeah. The phone number is 323-843-2826. Again, 323-843-2826.
That's call in and give us your opinion on things today. Sure. Today's all about sounding off on current events. So, but yeah, the Caitlyn thing is interesting, you know, because Bruce Jenner was an Olympic athlete,
mm-hmm,
at one time, considered to be one of the greatest athletes.
Yes.
But then the other thing I learned was that this award, it doesn't necessarily have to just pertain to sports. It predominantly has in the past, but I think a lot of people on the talk, for instance, Sharon Osbourne has been very vocal. There's at least two other female athletes. There's a female basketball player who died of brain cancer who had continue to play right up to the end.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's another person, you know, so there's a lot of people that are deserving of it. And Sarah Gilbert was making the point on the show of, well, it's like with any award show, there's always more, you know, everyone's deserving.
Mm-hmm.
You can only pick one winner. But I think the criticism, what Sharon was saying, is that, you know, ABC and the ESPYs are strictly using this as a ploy for the ratings. And I say, well, isn't that what business is all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because Caitlyn's going to bring ratings in, it doesn't detract or take away from her needing and earning this award.
Right. And I guess according to Us Weekly, she doesn't want to draw an obscene amount of attention to herself and take away the other deserving attention.
Right.
Yeah. You know.
But you know, the
athletes.
Other thing is that I guess is ABC owns ESPN,
mm-hmm.
and so this is the first time they actually are airing the ESPYs on ABC, which again I mm-hmm. think is a great thing because more people are going to watch the ESPYs, and let's just say that you know a percentage of those people decide they're going to watch the ESPYs
yeah.
from now on.
Well, guess who's going to be her date?
Is it Candace Cain?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, Candace Cain.
Well, it's interesting because for people who don't know Candace Cain, you mm-hmm. know, Candace Cain was one of the stars of Dirty Sexy Money mm-hmm. on ABC.
Right.
And I thought, in even before Laverne Cox, you know, Candace was sort of the first transgendered woman mm-hmm. who was on network television. Then when Laverne came, I know Laverne's the first African-American, but I always mm-hmm. thought, in this whole trans discussion recently, Candace had sort of been left out of the conversation a lot.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of the tabloids are saying that, you know, Caitlyn and Candace are dating. I don't know what that's about. I mean, they can't just be two girlfriends.
Oh, right.
You know,
yeah.
because there's that whole thing about, well, I guess the whole debate is Bruce will now have to be Caitlyn is now a lesbian mm-hmm. because Bruce was heterosexual.
Yeah.
But that hasn't been addressed. I don't think he's actually talked about that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because I'm not a sports person in general.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I watched the ESPYs last year simply for the fact that Michael Sam was being awarded
yeah.
his award. And that was groundbreaking because mm-hmm. first openly gay football player who also happened to be African-American. But it's interesting how 2 years in a row we have this sort of media spectacle around the winner
mm-hmm.
of the Arthur Ashe Award. And then ironically, you know, Arthur Ashe tragically died of AIDS also.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which was okay. kind of strange. You know, it was a heterosexual man who died of AIDS.
Oh, wow.
I'm almost positive he did.
I will look it up.
Yeah, please yeah. do, because if yeah. I've misspoke, you know, I think he was hemophiliac
or something.
He did,
you're correct. He was believed to have contracted HIV from blood transfusions,
yeah.
Yeah, by during heart bypass surgery.
Bypass surgery, mm-hmm. that's right.
In the 80s.
Right, he wasn't hemophiliac. That happened to a lot of people, you
right.
know, back in the time when the blood wasn't being tested or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I think the ESPYs are on at 8:00 tonight on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
I have my DVR set ready to go because I probably won't be home to watch it.
Uh-huh.
And like a lot of us, we'll probably be fast forwarding through to Caitlyn. I hate
yeah,
to say that, but
right.
isn't that what's probably going to happen?
Yeah, well,
yeah, you know.
For some of the audience, yeah.
Mm-hmm. audience, yeah. Sure. And then there's also that whole stereotype, of course, that gay men don't like sports.
Right. That's unfounded.
Yeah. Well, that's not true. That's a stereotype. Not all of us.
Yeah.
We don't just love ice skating and
right.
gymnastics and, you know,
right.
rhythmic mm-hmm. gymnastics and swimming, synchronized mm-hmm. swimming.
And the Oscars.
Yeah. But speaking of criminals, why don't we get to the
wow.
other big story? This fucking Bill Cosby.
Ugh.
And, you know, now his wife, Camille Cosby, has had to open her pie hole and start talking about she's now defending, of course, Bill. But she's saying that all the sex that took place was consensual,
mm-hmm.
that these women either took the pills themselves. And she's also admitted, she said, I you know, she knows that her husband is an adulterer. That's not anything new to her,
mm-hmm.
but that he's not a rapist. And now I just thought, really, bitch, why don't you just shut the hell up?
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad enough that we've
insult
had
to injury.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I understand it's her husband and she stood by him all these years, but it's almost like, why would his, you know, PR team even send her out there to speak for him of all people? When if you've ever seen them interviewed, she sits there like this church mouse. You know, she's got like this shit eating grin on her face the whole time, and she just kind of has a smirk on her face. She's almost like he's drugged her. I mean, a lot of the times when you look at her, they did that
like a Stepford wife.
She's very Stepford. And not attractive, bless her heart.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they lost a kid and there's even losing the son back when they did, there was a lot of controversy around that whole murder
mm-hmm.
and what was actually going down that night.
Mm-hmm.
And now since all these revelations have come out, there's been speculation that that could have even been a hit on from one. I'm not saying one of the victims did it,
yeah.
but there was some shady business happening there, which just now that we know this about Bill, it makes you wonder, wow, what other shady things has he been involved in?
Yeah.
You know? But I just think the worst part of this has been Whoopi Goldberg on The View, who
mm-hmm.
has just consistently defended Bill Cosby. And she has this she has this history of defending Mel Gibson, anybody that, especially a celebrity that gets caught in any kind of scandal, she tends to defend them. And but this, the Bill Cosby thing has just sort of.
I wonder why that is.
I don't know. She keeps saying that as someone who's been accused of things herself that she didn't do, blah, blah, blah.
So I'm she's thinking, protecting the celebrities because of the media spin?
Well, I just think, bitch, you have never been accused of raping women. You know, like she keeps trying to equate it to that time, remember, she did blackface with Ted Danson and she got some flack or whatever. I mean, she's had some negative press, but it's never been criminal. It's never been like Mel Gibson being anti-Semitic or whatever. So, but finally, yesterday on The View, ABC news analyst Dan Abrams seems like it almost seems like the network summoned him to come sit down with her because it was literally Whoopi and he talking for 20 minutes where he had to explain, you know, she had to pretend to be explained how there's no legal process right now that he cannot, because she kept saying, well, let's let this try, you know, play out in court. And he was trying to say, Whoopi, there's the statute of limitations have run out. I mean, there's like three cases that maybe there's some sort of wiggle room. But she sat there and it just seems so obvious that she had finally been spoken to by the network or someone that said, bitch, you know, you need to finally just
finally saw the light.
The only way to make it look like safe face for her is that she didn't quite understand the legal process.
Wasn't that show a sinking ship and she's kind of
it does seem like and speaking of, I have to give a shout out to a fellow radio person. Do you ever listen to Jenny McCarthy on Sirius?
I know you love her.
Funny. That bitch is so hilarious. The other day I almost ran off the road because one thing I love about Jenny is kind of like me. She likes to just call people on their shit, right? And she's this, she says now having the radio show is like the greatest job she's ever had in her entire life because she's finally able to just be allowed to be herself.
I bet.
But, and after all the 20 plus years living in Hollywood, you know, she lived in the Malibu colony for many, many years with her first, Ray Manzella, her first boyfriend, and then 5 years with Jim Carrey. She's had, you know, a lot of people, a lot of you youngsters may not realize, Jenny has had pilot deals and TV shows and sitcoms and a deal with Oprah, and she's, first of all, she's made a shitload of money, but she was really like the comic girl after her big singled out the dating show. And so she knows a lot of people, but she was talking about Whoopi on The View about, first of all, about being a big bisexual that, you know, no one talks about, and that she only got excited when, you know, hot lesbians came on the show. But she kind of intimated that Whoopi does run that show.
Yes.
And that if Whoopi doesn't like you, you're out.
I figured.
And apparently Rosie had that same sort of,
Rosie Perez?
No, Rosie O'Donnell, had the same kind of power.
But Rosie
as well.
Perez is out now too, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure what happened there because I got the feeling. I'm one of the few people that, here's the deal. I TiVo it.
Yeah.
And I'll just see who's going to be on it because I'm usually working on the computer or whatever. And I'll fast forward. But I have stuck with it through all these years. But a lot of people feel it is a sinking ship. But we do want to give a shout out to Michelle Collins, who just got named one of the new co-hosts, and she has been on shows here at UBN. She's been on Alec Mappa's show, and she's a big supporter of the gay community, and she's been doing her comedy. She was on Kathy Griffin's short-lived show over on Bravo that took over our old studio. Do you remember?
Yes,
Over at Sunset Bronson.
Sunset Bronson, yes.
But yeah, Michelle's been around a while. So for her, you know, whether it's a sinking ship or not, it's like a big break for her.
Mm-hmm.
But I read today also, it looks like Sherry Shepherd is being brought back.
Oh, wow.
The fifth chair is going to be sort of, they're bringing back Sherry Shepherd, and they're going to have one chair that revolves around like Molly Sims, that Candace Cameron Burroughs, you know, the Kirk Cameron's born again Christian sister that's a right wing nut job. London, I can't think of her name. She's a big fashion person. But anyway, I think they're trying everything. I think bringing on Raven Simone and bringing back Sherry, and now you have three African American women on the show, which is kind of nice.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's
like musical chairs there.
It's become musical chairs, right?
It really has.
And you know, it started out as such a great show, and now it's been eclipsed by like The Talk and other shows like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, we give a shout out to Jenny McCarthy. So her show is every afternoon. I think she's actually live in the mornings, but she comes on out here at 3 o'clock 3 to 5, and it's on Sirius XM 109. Cool. But she just takes on all celebrities. The other day, she took out her phone and just was naming all the celebrities in her phone, and she was just going to crank call them. And she also told a story about being invited to Ben Affleck and Jennifer Gardner's house, and it was some sort of fundraiser for a vegan restaurant or something. And at one point, Ben took her aside and was like, "Get me out of here. Oh my God, get me out of here. I'm trapped. Like, get me out of this fucking marriage." You know, because apparently Jennifer Gardner has been known to be very, like, you know, she's like the good girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs a tight ship and everything's organized and everything revolves around the kids and their homework and their whatever. So anyway, tune in to Jenny McCarthy.
Sure.
Give a shout out to her. Now, the other hilarious thing, of course, is this fucking Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about Donald Trump? I mean, the scariest thing is that it's one thing that we know what an asshole he is and he does stuff for attention. But in certain polls, he's actually leading now. He's leading Jeb Bush, which is really frightening. So, America, I don't know what the fuck's wrong with you. It's like, I mean, Republicans, clearly. Because a lot of the pundits are saying, well, you know, it's early on and he's just kind of doing this for publicity. Well, that's fine, but why is he leading in the polls? You know, it scarily reminds me of people who supported Sarah Palin.
Yes.
And that they were for her, remember?
Mm-hmm.
I just think, you know, and I don't understand how the Republicans don't quite understand that they cannot win the election without the Hispanic vote. But now Donald has Donald's doing this whole thing now. He goes, no, trust me, I will win the Hispanic vote. He thinks that, and okay, it's true. A lot of immigrants who are here legally, of course, rightfully so, they should be upset that other people get here and don't go the legal route. But he feels, he delusionally feels that there's enough of those people that are going to get him into the White House. And he's just such a nasty asshole. You know, I mean, first he called them, you know, rapist. They're all rapists. He was talking about the border situation and he was quoting some journalist in an article and she came on recently and she was like, dude, excuse me, they weren't being raped by the Mexicans, they're being raped by the border patrols. Basically being raped by the guards on the American side and the guards on the Mexican side, but they weren't being raped by the immigrants trying to get in. He just, he you know what I mean? He piecemeals his facts and he throws it out there and it's ridiculous.
Well, that's Fox News for you.
Well, that's it. But it just is amazing to me. It just seems like there's enough people that are, you know.
Well, they're sheep. That's what they call them.
Well, and, you know, now he's going to, of course, make it onto the first debate because I can't, they base it on the top 10, I think, or the top 8, which, of course, is TV gold because who the hell's not going to miss that, right? I mean, that whole thing is a clown car, all of them anyway.
The puppet show.
Yeah, I never thought I would say this, but Jeb Bush actually looks like the sane, smart one in the bunch.
It reminds me of that movie, The Candidate. Is that what it is?
Right.
Is that the name of the movie I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
Well, I mean, the thing is, talking about Jeb Bush, compared to his brother, he does...
Or the campaign, that's
the
it.
Campaign, yes, the campaign.
That's it. Yeah.
But people should look that up, actually.
It's a hilarious movie.
It's very funny. But compared to his brother, you know, Jeb does come off as the smart one.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it would be... I think... If it's Jeb versus Hillary, I think Hillary's got it hands down. Which I wanted to talk about that. What do you think about Hillary? Do you think it's such a shoo-in? You know, it's she was supposedly the shoo-in the last time around. Is that people have a short memory? They forget that.
Right.
You know, Oprah sort of appointed Obama president, and he came out of nowhere and suddenly took away all her thunder.
Well, some are thinking that she's too political. Mm-hmm. That you know, being
too polarizing.
Yeah, too being the secretary for so long that's kind of hurt her chances.
Right.
But then you know, a lot of people are also in favor of Bernie. You know.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, Bernie Sanders. Yeah. You know, he has really got a huge following as well.
Sure does.
My friend, who's Jewish, it's interesting. I didn't grow up around any kind of prejudices about Jewish people. And so I'm always, I still am taken back a little bit because I forget and I'm not Jewish and I didn't grow up, you know, I forget,
right.
But my friend said, he's never going to win because he's Jewish. And I was like, really? He goes, oh, there's no way. And I guess I, not being Pollyanna, but I'd like to think that
I like what he
would
stands
be a plus
for
him, not a minus.
Yeah, I love what he stands for. From what I understand, I mean, I'm on his Facebook and I see all these posts made by him all the time, and I pretty much agree with every post. And I'm not that political, so you know.
Well, I'm a big Elizabeth Warren fan.
I love
her.
I would love for her to run.
I know
her and Bernie together.
That
would
ticket
be
would be nice.
Yeah.
Or if Hillary would put her on her ticket, you know. I was a big Hillary fan, of course, the first time around. I actually felt that Hillary should have won president and Barack Obama should have been vice president.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't feel that he was corrupt enough. You know, I thought he was green, and I think he kind of showed that in his first term.
Yeah.
But he would have been able to sort of learn the ropes and then come in after her. But I don't know. This time around, I'm sort of I'm on the fence, to be honest. The reason I like Hillary is because I think in order to be a politician, sure, you have to be corrupt.
Yeah.
You have to have a there's varying degree. You know, it's like all attorneys have to be liars.
Mm.
You know, people know I hate attorneys. I hate attorneys until I'm arrested at 3 a.m. and I have to call one. But I've sort of been down a 5-year journey with, you know, lawsuits and attorneys that we won't talk about. But ironically, most politicians are attorneys also. But I don't know. I'm starting to feel like Hillary is, I don't know. I'm just not getting excited this time around.
Well, from what I can see, Bernie is making steady gains, according to Politico that just reported, you know. So it looks like.
But do you think, and this is shallow, I'm just keeping it real. Do you think visually, though, there's a problem there? You know, Bernie looks older. I think
I have a couple pictures of them
side
by side.
This is not my personal opinion, but, you know, I'm speaking for the millennials and the generation and people who, I don't know. I feel like a lot of times people vote on the image.
Well, according to I'm at InsideGov right now on the website, and Bernie has a 4.7 and Hillary has a 2.6.
Wow.
And this is by user votes. So,
well, go Bernie with your bad self.
Yeah.
Because, I'm sure Hillary would not pick him either. But, you know, at least we're going to have some sort of primary for the Democrats, because otherwise it would just be Hillary would be the nominee and there would be no debates or anything.
And then you look at a woman for president, too. That's going to be a big
thing,
you know, so that could be another driving point.
I think people have to be careful. I think Hillary has to be careful and not just cruise on that, thinking that she's a shoo-in just because she's a woman.
Right.
But
I think it will help her chances.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it will also. But I think she's going to have to be a little more accessible to the media. You know, I know it's way early. First of all, it's way early. Mm-hmm. But the one big criticism I have of Hillary right now, if you look up the Clinton Foundation, and she's been criticized for this, and you look at the billions of dollars that the charity has raised, you know, they've come under fire about the actual amount of money that they've donated to charity. And there's this huge discrepancy there. And I'm sure there's a way to spin it. And I'm open to hear there's probably legitimate reasons why those are the amounts. Mm-hmm. But that was the only thing when I was researching last month about the Clinton Foundation. I thought, wow, there really is this big gap of how much money actually goes to charity and what it costs for their overhead and their salaries,
you know, that's
supposedly.
Unfortunately, the sad side of charity.
Charity in general.
In general, because I went online. If you Google and you look up the Red Cross and you look up March of Dimes,
right,
you look up all these different organizations and you see how much money actually goes to the people in need versus the cost
of running
the charity. It's so minimal. It's sickening.
I know.
It really is.
And there's, look at that.
Had a drop of mic.
This big black thing just fell out of the sky. And
no, it really is. And in fact, I could probably find, while we're talking, an image that will break it down and give us the per dollar, what percentage of each dollar goes to charity. It's sickening.
It's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, that was my big thing about the Clintons. You know, this whole Benghazi situation with her, that doesn't bother me. I don't think that they can pin Benghazi on her. You know what I mean? I want to say, Obama got rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Mm-hmm.
He killed Bin Laden. We have universal health care, and now we have gay marriage. So the rest of you can go fuck yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, that's because.
I'm going to go up there and fix that mic in 2 seconds.
There he goes.
There you go.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Can you hear
me?
It's falling everywhere. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
I'll see how this whole campaign plays out. I'm excited. I love politics. You know, I'm a big political junkie. I love watching Rachel Maddow and MSNBC and all the shows, especially as we get closer to the election. And I also want to give a big shout out to Carrie Kasem, because today her bill is being signed into legislature in California.
Yes.
Do you have info on that, JW?
I will look it up right now. I know that Carrie has been here at UBM before, and
she's
absolutely
she's
loved
on the docket to be a guest here. And in fact, she was going to be a guest here today originally. And we are more than happy to say she's not here because she is in Sacramento. And the law, the bill that she's been vehemently fighting for elder abuse and for also allowing visitation, you know, rights for kids to visit their parents when they're, especially when they're step-parents involved. And this is all based on her father, Casey Kasem, and nightmare stepmother, Jeannie Kasem.
Yeah, 1 to 2 million Americans age 65 report having been abused by a loved one or someone they depend on for care. Only 1 in 14 incidents of elder abuse are ever reported to the authorities, and 1 in 25 cases of financial exploitation are ever reported, meaning that there might be at least 5 million financial abuse victims each year.
Can you imagine?
So that's crazy. So this petition.
And that,
this is from her website.
Nationwide, or is this just California?
This is actually, it doesn't break that down. It's just telling me the pledge here based on Pew Research.
Right.
But if you go to KasemCares.com, there's all the information there as well.
And she's just a, first of all, she's a beautiful person inside and out. And she's just been such a champion. And she, you know, Carrie's had her own very impressive radio career herself throughout the years. But when this started happening with her family, you know, she really took the bull by the horns. And it just goes to show you, for all of us, that, you know, you can't, they always say you can't fight City Hall. Well, I mean, you can. You can get out there and pound the pavement and get the signatures and do what you can. So big shout out to Carrie and her family, and bravo. And hopefully we will get her in here. And now when she comes in, it'll be a victory celebration, and we can talk about her journey of what it took to get the bill passed. And, of course, all the work's is going to have to happen after that.
We have an active chat room. I want to give it a little shout-out to the people in the chat room. And Dara was commenting on the story that we were talking about charity, and she says Charity Navigator is a good site to look at when you're thinking about making donations.
CharityNavigator.com.
I'm going to look it up and make
sure. Okay, thanks, Dara. Yeah. That's Entertainment Dish with Dara from my other show, On the Set with Jasper Cole, which, by the way, we will be back in the fall. That's my once-a-month show. With Ralph Cole Jr. and Dara Zane Scully and JW, Mr. John Williams. And so we'll be back. We'll be back in the fall. It'll be the first Sunday of each month, and we're in our fourth. Well, we had our fourth season of that. So, and thank you for all the viewers and listeners who have come over from the other show. That's exciting. Thank you so much.
Yeah, and to definitely join us live at ubnradio.com during the live show.
And everyone remember this this show will be up on our YouTube channel in a few days. It usually, the last week's show was up. It took a while, about 4 or 5 days. This show is archived usually tonight on the host page.
Yes.
And then we're on iTunes and Stitcher in a few days after that. And we're just, and the great thing about that, it stays on archive for forever, which is exciting. Now, what do you think about this prisoner escapee in Mexico? Is it El Chapo?
Yes, and the whole Donald Trump.
Right. So he's a he's the big billionaire drug cartel.
Yes,
who's escaped before. But did you see? I saw today on Good Morning America, they actually allowed ABC News inside the tunnel. Well, actually, inside his prison cell, and then shows him. You know, they this was being built for, I think, over a year at least. They had the a pulley system where they were bringing stuff in to build, and then the tunnel ends up opening up into like a safe house, into a house, and I think they had a motorcycle waiting to whisk him away or whatever. So I, you know, I just thinking, God, who would play him in the movie? I'm trying to think.
You know, it's
Javier Bardem.
It's interesting because if you watch Orange is the New Black, there was a whole episode about them escaping through the tunnel, you know? And so,
and you just wonder, was he, you know?
And then we just had the recent story about those two that escaped through a tunnel.
That's right.
And the inside. And
don't we love this? Those two guys in New York, I love the fact that the one guy survived. And you know the girlfriend that that they arrested, she was just hoping to God he died. Because think about it. If he had died, it would literally just be her word against theirs, and they're both dead. So now he's alive to sort of say, no, I was fucking her in the closet, and she wanted me to kill her husband. Allegedly.
Yes.
That's what we are being told. But I guess the other big story today, mm-hmm. and I don't know if a lot of people even watched it, but Obama gave his speech kind of explaining why he lifted the sanctions on Iran. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, historical because John Kerry's been working, our Secretary of State, has been working really hard to get this passed. But, you know, it's controversial. Israel is speaking out against it. They're kind of really worried about it. I don't know. Iran scares me in many ways. They've always kind of scared me. And I think what also scares me about the Republicans, they seem to want to go to war with Iran.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm hoping this is one of the last things Obama's doing to sort of like, when he, you know, leave office with sort of like better conditions. So we're not going to want to just go bomb the shit out of them.
Right.
Which is something I hope doesn't happen. But who knows? Well, listen, let's take our first break.
Okay.
And I want to say a big shout out to our sponsors, Tyrone Artworks and Wayman Productions. And we'll take our first break. We're going to come back and get more into hot topics and current events and keep it going. You're watching and listening One-on-One with Jasper Cole, and we'll be right back.
Got it.
Cause you're a sky full of stars. I'm gonna give you my heart. Cause you're a sky full of stars. Cause you light up the path.
Attention.
You're back one-on-one with Jasper Cole.
Hi, howdy, howdy. Welcome, welcome back to One-on-One with Jasper Cole. And it is just a sound off all day on hot topics and current events. I'm here with my producer extraordinaire, Mr. John Williams.
Hello,
hey, buddy.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great.
It's We're so nice to be able to talk to an intelligent person.
Oh, thank you.
Hey, Ralph, how are you? No, I'm
He's
kidding.
In the chat room.
It's Ralph in
was.
The chat room.
He was in the chat room.
Oh,
earlier.
God bless him.
Yes.
Congrats to Ralph Cole Jr. on his farmer's insurance.
Yes.
With J.K. Simmons. That's running everywhere, and I'm Ralph's.
Sorry, we're not running it on this show.
I'm Ralph's manager.
I know we should be running.
So
on
I'll
the
be
show.
Collecting a commission.
There you
that.
Go.
No, it's Ralph's first commercial, national commercial ever, and it's a huge one. And as you all know, Ralph Cole Jr. is my co-host on my other show, but he's just one of the funniest people ever, and he's so
and a great guy,
so talented, and there's no one like Ralph.
No.
And when I first met him, I said, "Bitch, you're a star. Now make me some money." And I think we just celebrated 6 years working together.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah. So we're just like brothers with another mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, you said Dara's in this room as well. And Dara's going to be here co-hosting next Wednesday with Tony at 4 o'clock.
Oh, great.
And then she and I are going to the Hollywood Bowl to see... it's a whole night of Sinatra.
Ah.
I think. I'm not sure who's singing Sinatra, though. But it is a whole night of Sinatra. But Dara has wonderful seats at the bowl. The Duchess does.
Okay.
And so, yeah. But speaking of transgendered people, no, Dara, I'm kidding.
No, you didn't.
But I wanted to talk. You know, it's amazing because you and I were saying last week about as gay people, we're living in such a historical time.
We are.
And you know how hard the fight has been for gay rights or whatever. And it's kind of snuck up on us. But if you look at it, the transgender community is now getting its due respect and building support in the way the gay community was.
Mm-hmm.
It almost seems like it's happening faster, which is good. Like everything is speeding up. But it's an interesting topic. You know, I've been very pleased, actually, to see some of the people that I thought were not going to be supportive of it. You know, a lot of people think, oh, you know, the religious right. But I have friends, I have family in the South, I have family and friends that live all over the country, and some are Republicans, believe it or not. that's an issue that seems to be it's a lot more support is there than I think was there for the gay community.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the gay movement helped.
It sure did.
Pave the way, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
But you see, there's a show on ABC Family.
Yes.
You know, I forgive me, I don't know the name, but it's about the teenagers are dating, the girl and the guy, and both of their fathers are transitioning, going through the process.
And that's Ryan Seacrest's show, right?
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I think there's a show called I Am Jazz.
Oh, yes. But the first one you're talking about is called Becoming Us.
Becoming Us.
Mm-hmm.
And then
that's
I think
ABC Family.
I Am Jazz is another show, maybe on TLC, that's about a boy, right, who's wants to transition to a girl.
Yes.
I think I'm right about that.
Yes.
I actually have not seen the show, but I've seen promos for it, and it's something I want to start, TiVo. But it's interesting because, you know, going back to Christine Jorgensen back in the 50s, who was one of the first men to have the surgery. Dennis and I have a dear friend, Marlena, who has been in our life for 20 years. Marlena was, her name was John, and she was an actor. She was on the Rat Patrol and Hogan's Heroes, strapping blonde German actor who, you know, was making a really great living. And we're talking about in the 60s and 70s in Hollywood, and really gave it all up, literally. Sold the house in the hills, you know, went, I believe, had the same surgeon as Christine did back in the day. I think went to Italy and had the surgery, and Mickey Hargitay, who's Mariska Hargitay's father, who had been John's best friend, actually stood by him after the surgery and allowed her then to recover at his home in Italy. But Marlena talked to us about how she, when she made that decision, now we're talking, I think, late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. she was completely ostracized in Hollywood.
Oh, I bet.
You know, and she told a great story when you have to live that 1 year, when you have to live as a woman, but you haven't had the surgery yet, mm-hmm. he still needed to make money as an actor. So he was in transition, but he would still go to auditions as John, and his hair was growing out and the nails were growing out. And it was fascinating because I knew his story. And then, you know, the next person I think growing up I'd heard was the tennis player, Dr. Rene Richards. Do you remember Rene Richards?
No.
He had been a male tennis player and became a woman. And the big controversy is, should he be allowed to still play in, now should he be allowed to play with females? Because
okay.
he technically still had the strength and the power of a male. And so there was a TV movie made about Dr. Rene Richards. But all the hype with Bruce Jenner, I haven't seen, I don't know if we can look up Renee Richards because I'm curious.
I have a picture of her.
I haven't seen her interviewed or anything about her commenting, and I don't know if she's just chosen to, you know, stay out of the spotlight mm-hmm. or not. But it's just interesting because she was high profile back in the 70s, I think it was. But again, she was not famous like Bruce Jenner was.
Looks like in January she joined Olbermann for an interview with ESPN.
Oh, well, and does it say her age? Because she must be...
I could find out.
You know, she must be getting up there now.
Yeah, I believe according to... Let's see here.
Because, I mean, she was...
She's 80 years old.
Okay, yeah, because she was in her 40s or 50s, I think, when she had her, mm-hmm. had her surgery.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting, you know, back to the Bruce Jenner thing. And I think what's really kind of put a little damper on it, it's the whole association with the Kardashians.
Sure.
You know, and so people are criticizing him because they think that he's kind of sold out a little bit. I don't know about you, but I am going to watch his docuseries when it comes out.
Yeah, I will as well.
Because I think that should be fascinating.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think if it weren't, let's be honest, if it weren't for the fame of the Kardashians, then...
Well, to be honest with you, I have never watched that show, Keeping with the Kardashians, until Bruce and Caitlyn, the transition.
See, because I don't watch it at all, I kind of missed, I wish I had seen, because they did cover it, right, on the last...
They have been, and it's ongoing thing.
It's doing it right now, because I'm such a, you know, I'm a reality freak, but mm-hmm. I'm a Kardashian freak.
Well, it's just one of those shows that happened to be on when you're flipping through and you're just like, well, I'm curious because of whole, you know, Caitlyn,
right,
I want
to
see what's going on. And honestly, I think they're covering it pretty well.
Right.
I think they're handling it pretty sensitively. It's interesting to see all this transition. I mean, and not just her transition, but the family's transition dealing with
and the way hard it's been for Kris Jenner
mm-hmm.
to handle all this. And you know, it's amazing because right now, rightfully so, Caitlyn is, you know, everything she's wearing is being scrutinized, mm-hmm. which I'm sure she loves that because that just makes her feel more like a woman, you know. But there's a lot of bloggers and people saying, you know, she's prettier than Kris now, so. It's interesting. I did see some promos or clips from Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Mm-hmm. Wasn't there an episode where Kris really was crying and really letting it out about?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
I have to say I don't know Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people who know her and actually like her a
mm-hmm.
lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's a phenomenal businesswoman.
Yeah, I agree.
You can't take that away from her. I think as a manager, she's amazing.
Yes.
I haven't felt a lot of warmth from her or whatever, but I think, you know what, this is hard for her, and I do give her sympathy on this.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated, I don't know if you are, but I'm fascinated by his first wife and by Linda Thompson, his second wife.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen just very brief little interviews with them. I mean, Linda Thompson was famous in her own right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was also Elvis's girlfriend when he died. Of course,
being
from the South, I knew her from Hee Haw.
Uh-huh.
but then she went on and married David Foster.
Yes.
You know, so if for those of you who watch The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and you see David and his, you know, I can't think
who is struggling with Lyme disease.
His wife is So Yolanda Foster,
mm-hmm.
who that's a whole other disease.
Yeah.
That's horrific,
right?
You know, last month when we were in Georgia, Dennis got his first ever tick on his leg.
I remember hearing about that.
I mean, it had only been on there literally like a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
It hadn't even embedded yet, But of course, in my, you know, Lifetime TV movie mind, I immediately thought, oh my God, he's going to have Lyme disease. Mm-hmm. And Avril Lavigne also recently talked about having.
Right.
So for all you listeners out there living, especially in the East Coast, I don't think we have the problem in the West, or especially Southern California, maybe Northern California. And I think it's a certain, it's a deer tick, right? Or there's a certain tick that causes.
Right, and you get a bullseye rash. And
do you love how we, do you love how we've segued from Caitlyn Jenner to deer ticks? Only on 101 with Jasper Cole will you get this sort of opinions. But so no, I mean, I grew up with ticks, and I remember having them on me, but I, you know, when did Lyme disease come around?
Right. Well, apparently this there's a new strain of Lyme disease or something going on where it's more
prevalent.
It's stronger. Yeah, and it's a really bad.
I remember growing up, it was Rocky Mountain spotted fever.
Yes, uh-huh.
Now, that's different, though. Yeah. And you don't really hear that anymore.
Right. With Lyme disease, you have to look for this bullseye rash that appears.
That it leaves after
the tick.
After you take it off.
Uh-huh. And it, I guess from what I see from time, I'm just looking right now, it's surged 320% in America.
But we don't know why.
Yeah.
Unless this just the population of the ticks have grown.
I'm guessing that's probably why.
You know, so for right now, especially in the summertime, another
and
reason.
More people maybe becoming educated about it and reporting it, you know, and tending to go in and, because a lot of people get Lyme disease and aren't even aware that they have it for the longest
time. They're misdiagnosed because they think it's lupus or chronic fatigue or Epstein-Barr or one of the other autoimmune disease. But yeah, I mean, Yolanda Foster's really had, it has really affected her thinking, her mm-hmm. cognitive abilities. So give, you know, love to Yolanda.
Yeah.
And Avril Lavigne also. She's just sort of recently been able to come out and talk about it,
mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, she's young. So, well, let's talk a little entertainment,
sure.
You know? I mean,
well, we kind of segued into it.
Right. I mean, I was just thinking, what's happening in entertainment? By the way, we are going to be taking the show to Vegas.
Yeah.
We're going to be going to interview Todd Bridges. Most of you know Todd from Different Strokes. And you know, Todd's had his struggles over the years, and he's triumphed over many adversities. And he is he has a residency in Vegas at the Plaza Hotel. So we're going to be taking the show out there and interviewing him in the next, I think, toward the end of the month.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Ronnie Blakely, who's going to be an upcoming guest. It's the 40th anniversary of the Robert Altman film Nashville.
Okay.
And, you know, Ronnie was Oscar nominated for Best Supporting Actress. And that was really her first movie role, even though she had had two albums prior to that and was a singer. That was her first big acting role. But a lot of people also will, you know her from Nightmare on Elm Street. She played the mother in that. So Ronnie's going to come in and talk about her experiences and the whole thing working on Nashville and what she's doing now. And she's had an amazing music career.
Mm-hmm.
Like we mentioned, Carrie Kasem is an upcoming guest on one of our shows.
Yeah.
And also Fortune Feimster. A lot of people will know Fortune from Chelsea Handler.
And she's a writer, right?
She is a writer, but she has a new sitcom that Tina Fey is executive producing that Fortune created and is also starring in and has written. And from what I know, it's loosely based, or it may be really based, on growing up in, I think, North Carolina or South Carolina, one of the southern states. And, you know, Fortune is openly gay, a lesbian, and hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk to her because, again, no such thing as an overnight success. You know, I first saw her on the Chelsea Handler show, but I know she's, you know, there's a
and
whole
what did
journey.
She do on that show?
Well, she was a writer who then she ended up bringing her onto the panel.
Okay.
Because she's got this great red hair, you know. She's,
yeah, no, I have a picture of
her. She has this amazing look, and nobody looks like Fortune. And
she
just has the heart of gold. Mm. And I've been a fan of her since Chelsea Handler. She's a stand-up comedian.
Mm-hmm.
So she's gotten really, really popular out on the road. So those are just some of the upcoming guests for the rest of July. And then we're going to keep, you know, surprising you in August.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of good stuff coming. But yeah, so in entertainment right now, I guess the Emmy nominations come out tomorrow.
Do they?
Tomorrow morning, yes. So do you have like a favorite? Because I'm a big... I only watch two dramas, Empire and Ray Donovan.
I love Empire.
Okay, so clearly Empire is going to sweep tomorrow. You know, this is their first...
Yes.
This will be their first Emmy eligibility. Mm-hmm. And then I just, Ray Donovan, Liev Schreiber, and Ray and John Voight, the whole cast is so amazing. The season premiere was last Sunday night.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll talk about, you know, we'll touch a little on the Emmys next week after the nominations come out. But they're coming out tomorrow morning. And as an actor, you know, TV season's starting back right now. We're out on all of us. We're all out there auditioning, yeah, aren't we? You know, we're basically professional auditioners.
Well, I think California in general is, I mean, that's audition what we do city, is, California.
But that's what you got. Actors, I know we're getting close to the end, but I just want to leave actors with this thing to know that if you're lucky enough to audition and get to the point in your career where you can get auditions, because it's gotten so hard now with the movie stars are all doing series regulars and the series regulars are guest stars. You just have to know when you get the job, it's kind of like the vacation.
Sure.
You know? Because then you get to go and be pampered. But I don't know. You have to sort of like change your thinking about auditions. I always looked at it as if I already have the job.
Uh-huh.
I'm going in and I'm shooting it that day at the audition. They just maybe choose not to.
Look at it as building your network, too.
And yeah, you do. And just remember, actors out there, you know, these casting people, they're not going to keep calling you back if you're not doing good work.
Right.
So on that note, I am going to be doing a guest spot on a new series. I can't really talk yet about it, but maybe by next week I can talk about it.
Okay.
And this is amazing. I can't. Okay, the hour has gone.
We have 1 minute.
I have sat here and rambled with you and just ran my fucking mouth.
It worked.
About shit, and I love it. In fact, I'm just going to sit here even after we go off and just talk. I'll just talk to myself.
Keep on talking.
But you're, everyone, coming up next is the Ann Walker Show that JW produces and is on. And stay on and listen to that. And we will be back next week, and we're going to have... We're either going to have Carrie Kasem, we're going to have Ronnie Blakely, or Fortune Feimster. You know what? We're just going to put it in a bowl and pull it out. I want to give a thanks to my other producer, Dominic Frazen, and the publicist. Dominic, call me, wherever you are. And JW, John, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Jasper.
Again,
always a pleasure.
Follow us on Twitter, one-on-one, J. Cole. Facebook, one-on-one with Jasper Cole, jaspercole.com. And our sponsors, Tyrone Artworks and Wayman Productions. Couldn't do it without you guys. We'll see you next week. Same time, same place. Thanks. Peace out.
Thanks for checking out One-on-One with Jasper Cole. Check out past episodes and get the latest as they're released. Subscribe today on iTunes, Stitcher, and YouTube.